This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and maybe even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm going to walk out of here a lean, mean, fighting machine.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
True or false, Stripes was shot in a dry county in Kentucky.
Somebody had to explain to Candy what a dry county was because he's from Canada. And so when I first told him, you can't buy alcohol in this county, and he goes, yeah, right. Here's not alcohol.
Earlier on the show, Yahoo Sports senior NBA reporter Vincent Goodwill, legendary broadcaster Bob Costas. Coming up, actor Kurtwood Smith. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. We've had a fun first 2 hours of this program. Vincent Goodwill of Yahoo Sports. We talked NBA with him and the 48 hours aftermath of the NBA championship being won by Boston and what happens next for those trying to dethrone them next year, and then what in the world happened with the Detroit Pistons firing their coach after just 1 year and giving Monty Williams a $65 million check to just walk away. Hour number two of this program, Bob Costas joined us to talk about the life and times of Willie Mays. We've been talking throughout the first 2 hours about who is the current now with Willie Mays passing. Greatest living Major League Baseball player. A lot of folks want to chime in on the phone lines at 844-204-RICH. We'll get that a listen, and we'll get to you shortly. This hour, just had a nice chat in our green room with one of the stars of That 90s Show, part two that premieres June 27th exclusively on Netflix. Part three will premiere this fall in October. We all know how it is just another extension of That 70s Show. And the man who plays the dad, Red Foreman, Kurtwood Smith, is in our green room right now. He's going to come out, and we've got a great celebrity, true or false, for him, RoboCop, and, also a lot of the other great things that he has been in, Dead Poets Society and more.
Now, I'd buy that for a dollar.
Oh, there you go. That's a good RoboCop mention right there. Although I don't think he said that phrase.
No, he didn't say it, but I just, every time I hear
he
RoboCop.
He was a real SOB in that
movie. Oh, he was a scary cat in that, yeah. No doubt.
Yeah, Clarence Boddicker scared the crap out of me back in 1987.
You and everybody else.
T.J. Jefferson, you have the That 70s Show television set that you nicked, if you will, from the
Nick sounds so negative.
Why is it turned around? Why am I seeing the back of it?
Well, because that's all you saw when the TV was on camera. Ah. You saw the back. It's an empty shell of a
TV.
That's
a good question. So why don't you turn it around there?
Turn it around. I keep stuff in it. See, it's just an empty shell of a TV.
Okay.
So that's how everybody saw
it. Well, why don't you leave it that way? Because everyone might be just sitting here wondering why in the hell is there. I'd rather them wonder why is there an empty shell of a TV up there rather than they think it's like a back of a. You're heating up hot pockets during the show. I have no idea.
Are there stolen items in there?
But anyway, if you miss the first 2 hours, we will re-air. Chris Brockman's going to do his powerless rankings.
Oh, that's going to be going so out disrespectful, the door. I have a feeling.
Yeah. It's not great.
Yeah.
Not great for 10 teams. Rich, you did your way too soon. It's June.
Yeah, power
rankings of the 10 best teams right now in the NFL. We're going the other way. The 10 worst teams.
Okay,
in the NFL,
that right? we'll do that going out the door.
And again, the fact that Kurtwood is here, Red Foreman's favorite word was dumbass. Yep. So this is just
fantastic.
Is synergy.
Right? Fantastic.
Put it all together.
We go from the man who made dumbass famous to a dumbass with a dumbass segment.
Hey,
I say that with love and respect.
Do you though?
I do.
Love and respect.
I do. Let's go to Rich in Bristol, Pennsylvania. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, sir?
PA in the house.
Hey, how you guys doing today? I'm calling you from the heat dome that is Bristol, PA, 96 in the shade.
Oh, my gosh. Ooh, hang in there.
Baby.
I got two guys for you, and I stepped out for coffee for 2 minutes. please excuse me if I missed them.
Go ahead.
But being a Philadelphia Phillies fan, give you my Harry Callis interpretation. 10-time All-Star, 8-time National League leading home run hitter.
Michael
3-time MVP, 10-time Gold Glover, number 20. Michael Jack Schmidt.
Michael Jack Schmidt.
You mentioned him earlier.
74, still does the game on the weekends. Oh. Flies up from Florida and does color commentary with Tom McCarthy. And the other guy has got to be Carl Yastrzemski. Brockman. Huh. Carl Yastrzemski. I know you're young.
Yeah, it's good.
He was my boyhood idol. I started following him in 67,
yep.
Sitting on my grandfather's knee.
Crown.
Young Polish boy with a grandfather that loved baseball. We watched it every Saturday together. And the guy won the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
I don't know. They have to be considered, fellas.
As the greatest living ball player. Rich in Bristol, PA, thank you for hanging in there and hanging there in the heat there. In the
96
heat dome.
In the shade.
Yaz is a good one.
That's a human 96 too, people. Yeah.
Peter in Texas, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. Thanks for hanging in there, Peter. What's up?
Peter.
Hi, guys. Happy Thursday.
What's up, Pete?
What's up, bro?
What's on your mind?
Hey. So, first off, Rich, in regards to your ability to get a point, I like to bestow some wisdom from George Costanza. It's not a lie. If you believe it.
Well, I'm not lying it's not a lie that I'm wanting to get a point off of Carlos Alcaraz.
You got to believe it, man.
I believe I can do it. Listen, Stuart Scott told me that a long time ago. You got to speak things into existence. And I'm not going to give up that ghost. I'm just not going to do it. I don't think I'll ever have a chance to do it either, so.
Hey, don't be so sure, Rich.
You never know.
Be a Roku special.
But yeah, I would also like to apologize to my fellow Dallas Cowboys, TJ.
Okay.
On behalf of the Rangers, I apologize for breaking the streak. However,
it's okay.
You bring that stuff into a Whataburger state. You know, you gotta expect that.
That's true. Pete, I didn't even think about
it. I had
that,
no
man.
Idea that the Mets just stepped right in the middle of some form of a fast food war.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Burger War 2024.
Get out of here Burger with your McDonald's ish. Is that what he's basically saying?
I think that's exactly what Peter's saying. He's trying not to work blue.
I have no idea.
People down there love Whataburger.
Hey, listen, if Jake Paul and Mike Tyson aren't going to go down in the summertime, then Grimace v. Whataburger is going
to
do it.
Sign me up. I might have to take off work to watch that battle.
All I know is I don't know what the reach is of Whataburger, but it's got to be longer than Grimace's reach.
Is there a mascot?
Photograph?
Does
you see that photograph of him with his glove on? It's just
and I'm telling you, the glove's on the wrong hand.
I don't know if that means anything.
Well, how
he's got like T-Rex arms. He's just kind of like
no. It looks like the alligator reaching for the check in the
exactly.
Geico commercial.
Short arms and deep pockets. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, I can't reach it.
Let me just reach. Thank you for the call, Peter, I appreciate the condolences on behalf.
Let's go,
of
Cowboys, baby.
Hey, you know who smoked today?
Hey, who?
A guy that you think doesn't deserve the money.
Jaguar fans are coming after me on Twitter, too.
Imagine
Jaguar
that.
Fans like coming after people. Jaguar fans are prone to come after people.
This guy wrote me like a 3-1 thread. I was just like, cool.
Dude, let me tell you something.
Like one playoff win.
Let me tell you something. As the host of an NFL draft now, 21 years and counting, I will say to anybody that's been in the chair, in the truck, do me a favor. Do not send us the break when the Jaguar is about to go on the clock. Please don't do it, because everybody thinks it's me who's disrespecting the Jaguars, saying when we come back, you know, the Jaguars will get their pick. And it's just, you know, listen, we don't miss picks. We don't ever miss picks. As a matter of fact, when you go to break on a television draft, if we're going to break and ESPN's on the air, they're going to hold the pick till we get back and vice versa. Okay. But what we're not going to give you, because we do have to spend a commercial break paying off bills 3 minutes long, is, and this is the Jaguar fan pushback to me, is like, yeah, but the 3-minute conversation you'd be having with the panel about what the Jaguars have done and what they need, we don't get that. The other teams do. Mm. And be careful, Chris. You can't say, hey, you know, people care less about your team. So that's why we don't go to break for the Patriots or the Jets or the Giants, but we'll do it for the Jaguars. That's what the insinuation is. They get very upset, and it's just like
Northeast
my same my same admonition I give you here is the same one where in that one time in the 10-year history of this program, you made the awful mistake of going after cat people. And the Jaguars are a cat. Mean, it's like they are cat people of the NFL.
I stand by my
Okay,
cat
don't
team.
Do it. Stop it.
I'm not.
Don't double or triple. Sorry. Down
I
here.
I missed that one.
Oh, he did that.
That's
and
dangerous.
I'm like, just don't do it. Don't do it.
You're a dog guy. You get it.
I understand that, but I also live with cats for 3 years. They're wonderful creatures.
Yeah.
The bottom line is the Jaguar fans are cat people. So if you're going after Trevor Lawrence, you're going after the top cat. And if you're saying he's not worth the money.
Except I like him. I just, you know.
I know that, but you're saying he's only won one playoff game, and that one he had to pull out of his orifice and get the Chargers charging to help. I understand what you're saying.
Right. All facts.
And the orifice he created was, you know, is because he played like his head was up one. I get it. I understand.
Thank you.
But, you know, these things happen when quarterbacks play in the NFL playoffs for the first time. It happens. Yeah. Some guys go into the Hall of Fame and didn't win their first playoff game or their first two or three even. So Trevor Lawrence was born into this league. Let me repeat this for those who think he doesn't deserve it. He was born into this league with Urban Meyer as his head coach. All right? Throw that year out.
I you know, out. We're giving him too much of a pass for that.
No, you're not. You don't need, as a rookie, to deal with 4 weeks in your head coach not flying back with the team and then being caught while he's staying behind
doing
that stuff.
Urban Meyer wasn't calling plays. He wasn't the OC.
Yeah, but he's the HC.
He's getting too much of a pass for Urban Meyer.
How about him once? Remember that time where he apparently had to go up to Urban Meyer saying, why isn't James Robinson in the game? That rookie quarterback should not have to deal with that sort of stuff.
Not in charge of who's on the field.
He's the head coach. What are you talking about?
He's a CEO head coach.
I thought that was the.
Oh my God! Let's agree to disagree there. You're going to get a four. You're going to get a four tweet thread now. Okay.
And by the way, Rich, you couldn't skip.
Get out of here.
You couldn't skip the Jags this year because Tony Khan had been viciously assaulted. So you needed.
That's true.
To put the camera on him.
And listen, they were 8-3 this year when he got hurt, and you know the way I feel. The market is the market, and you got to make these decisions. Do you pay the guy a market contract or not? Now, the issue is, as Tom Pelissero pointed out, they went all the way to Burrow. By that, he meant they didn't just pay him in the market-ish range of Burrow or Herbert. They went ahead and gave him the tippy top of the market dollar amount. They matched Joe Burrow, who's been to a Super Bowl, for crying out loud. So Trevor Lawrence met the media today and was talking about the pressure that will now come with a deal of this magnitude being bestowed upon him, and the expectation level will be there.
I'm not going to add any pressure to myself just based on getting this contract. It doesn't really change what I expect of myself and what the team expects of me. I mean, whether this got done or not, you know, Mr. Khan, Trent, Doug, everyone, all the coaches expect me to play well and like I said, to bring a championship here eventually. So I know that's the end goal, and that's what I'm here for. So now that this is done, it doesn't really change that. But, you know, like I said, maybe from the outside it will a little bit, but not for me. And obviously the way the organization's going and the direction that we're heading on the football side, that makes it obviously a no-brainer for us. Is, you know, we're heading in the right direction, and I want to be the quarterback here. I want to bring a championship to Jacksonville. That's my goal, and I really know that we can accomplish that.
Okay, so you know what hasn't changed? First of all, everyone understands this. For the radio audience, his hair is already in mid-season moisturized form, okay? Totally. You'd think maybe his hair might look different.
I'm not going to add any pressure to myself.
You might think that it might be completely different because he's spending things on more expensive hair care products. No, he's still the same guy. That said, I am not concerned that he's going to feel the pressure. I just don't. And by the way, guys, Travis Etienne, Evan Ingram, remember last year, it wasn't MJD saying name a better tight end, receiver, quarterback, running back combination than what the Jaguars have? That was when they had Calvin Ridley, right? And we struggled to come up with it. We said the Chiefs, right? Didn't we say the Chiefs were the one that would you could top?
Bengals had a good one. Mixon, Burrow. I know Mixon's.
Yeah, but the tight end you didn't.
Oh, tight end, yeah.
Evan Engram, though, went a while without scoring a touchdown. Yeah. Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, Christian Kirk, Gabe Davis, Brian Thomas Jr. Look out for that kid. Evan Engram, though, that's it. That's who they're going to go in with an offensive line that is pretty damn good. Here's the issue. Let's figure out when this game is. Put the Jaguars schedule up. Okay. Thank you. I'm not doing the win-loss for them. What I'm saying, though, is first up, right out of the box. Oh, my God. Certainly since we're talking about the contract for Tua. And what's that going to be?
Oh, I already have a what's more likely for that game.
And what's that going to be?
Let me just save that.
And Trevor Lawrence and Tua faced off one time in college. It was a national championship game where Clemson blew the crap out of Alabama, I believe. Didn't we look that up the other day, Hoskins? I think we did. 2019. Man, and does Tua get as much as Trevor? What if Tua doesn't get the contract and Trevor has? Oh, my gosh. What a week one game. Who's going to, and if Tua gets the contract, who's going to play up to that contract first? And whoever doesn't will be immediate hot garbage for a week.
Uh-huh. And that'll be the.
Okay.
Let's focus on Brockman's attack on week one,
okay.
too.
Home for
Cleveland. Here comes the Grim Reaper at Buffalo. A nice little, if you will, Gabe Davis homecoming. But the one that I really was interested in, by the way, that's a Monday nighter at Buffalo. Here's the one I was interested in. When are they playing Houston first? Because that's it. That's it. It's Houston's division now. And the expectation level for Houston is way higher than Jacksonville. Way higher. Way higher. Dude, everybody's believing for sure they have a chance to win the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, I see that.
With all their offseason additions on either side of the ball that they made. Danielle Hunter being added to that defense and Stephon Diggs being added to that offense.
Yeah.
And if Trevor Lawrence, with his $275 million contract, $55 million per, loses to C.J. Stroud, that'll just ratchet it up even more. 3 out of 4 away from Jacksonville to start. That ain't easy. They're going to London for 2 weeks in a row, as we know.
That's going to help, right?
Well, they play well there.
Especially not having to come home.
Well, and they play back-to-back weeks, and that'll be New England in that position this year, having the disadvantage of flying in just for that game, and Jacksonville already been there for a week. Buffalo learned last year. That is a disadvantage, I believe, having called these games, seeing firsthand. I'm just pointing out that there's a ton of traps in terms of week 8. There's Jordan Love. Week 9, there's Jalen Hurts. Week 11, there's Jared Goff, another guy that I think you believe, Chris, isn't worth the $50 million, but that is market value. That's it. And so the first 12 weeks is filled with traps of folks saying, well, are you worth it or not? And Trevor Lawrence is going to have to play better than a lot of quarterbacks. But the one that I'm pointing out, week 4, there it is, C.J. Stroud, because you know how I think C.J. Stroud is going to be. If I had to guess right now, the first $60 million a year quarterback, that's the one. That's the one. So, man, they're going to have to, that's it.
They have a hard schedule.
Well, everybody does, I think, but I'm just pointing out that you could see the traps of how the comparisons between Lawrence and these other quarterbacks are, and he's paid better than a lot of these other guys, and is he worth it or not? That said, I look at that kid and think, really, is he going to feel pressure? Is he going to put it on himself? Is Doug Peterson going to be that grip artist that will make it worse? Like, say, maybe his rookie head coach? I'm going to talk about a grip artist. I don't think so.
He was a space cadet.
I don't think so. Oh, he was a gripper, man. Get out of here. He would grip. You speak to any. Listen, I've spoken to people who are on that staff and in that building and what it was like. Seriously, Trevor Lawrence deserves like a mulligan.
But then he was gone. So what happened the rest of the year?
think he was. Okay.
He gets too much of a pass for that first year. That's all I'm saying.
And I say you're beyond the pale wrong. You're not even in the remote area of right.
Could you describe what you mean by gripper?
Like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Like just gripping, like just intense, like making everybody around him more tensed up. Okay. There's nothing loose about it. Okay. Making people, you know, show their resume about why they should be on his staff, all that sort of stuff that
people
wouldn't work.
Whatever. Yeah.
That said, it's a different time. I think the guy's, at least, I think he seems ready. He'll be ready for the moment. Whether the team is another question. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Okay, let's bring out Kurtwood Smith. He is going to be joining us. We've got a great celebrity, true or false, best known now, for sure, as Red Foreman in That 90s Show Part 2 on Netflix, That 70s Show, and more. Let's bring out Kurtwood Smith. That's next. This is edition of The Rich Eisen Show. This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Kurtwood Smith is here on The Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience just rejoined us. We just saw a clip of That 90s Show Part 2 that premieres next week, June 27th, exclusively on Netflix, which you can see right here on the Roku portal. And Kurtwood Smith is here on the program. When did you first hear about That 70s Show? How did that first wind up on your radar screen?
I was in New Orleans. I was shooting a pilot that I wouldn't have been a regular on.
Yeah.
And they sent this to me and said they want to see you on Monday. Well, I had to shoot a scene Sunday night.
Yes.
On the Mississippi. And so I passed. I said, I'm not going to go back. I'm going to work all night and then fly to L.A. and do an audition. That's just, you know, that's crazy.
Right.
But then when I got back to town, they said they haven't cast that yet. Do you want to go in? I said, sure. And then I found out that the casting director, Mark Hirschfeld, had really been pushing for me. Mm-hmm. So they waited till I got back. They didn't tell me that, which was good.
So they didn't tell you that at the time, but you eventually learned that.
They didn't tell me that at the time. That it would have made me much too nervous.
Is it true one of the competition for the role was Chuck Norris? Is that true?
No.
That is not true.
That's not true. I wondered myself because I heard that rumor often enough, so I finally asked one of the creators of the show, and he was like, no. Said, I have no idea where that came from.
Is it one of the many Chuck Norris fake Chuck Norris stories that are out there on the internet and things
apparently,
like that?
Apparently, yeah.
Wow, okay. And when did you realize that that show was something special for you?
About the third episode, I think.
Why is that then?
You know, in the first couple of episodes, for the pilot and then the first episode, you're so much concerned with what you're doing, mm-hmm. you know,
sure.
As an actor and trying to get your character together and, you know, work out your relationships. that I hadn't really had a chance to think about the show and in terms of any kind of future.
Yes.
I remember that's also the episode when I first called him a dumbass. And it got a huge reaction. I just remember thinking, this is a funny line. Don't mess it up. Don't put any color on it. Just say the words. And I did, and it brought down the house. And then I thought, these people really like the show, mm-hmm. the audiences that we were playing for.
Yes.
And so I just had a feeling it was going to go. I knew Fox wanted to be in the business with Carsey Werner. Mm-hmm. So I figured they'd probably give us a chance if it was close. But I don't even think it was close. I think they just liked us from the very beginning.
And the cast was just fantastic.
Cast was great.
Of that show.
Yeah.
Chemistry from the get-go, pretty much?
Oh, absolutely, I think, yeah.
From like first table read? Yeah. You felt it?
Everybody, I think, got along really well. Ashton was nervous. I remember talking to him. He said, oh, man, I'm really nervous about this. And I said, well, what's the problem? And he said, he's pointed at Mila. She's 14 years old, man. I'm 19. I got to make out with her. And now I said, it'll be all right, man. And now here they are.
Yeah, now here you are doing that 90s show.
Yep.
Part two on Netflix.
Yeah, and I got to say, these kids are great. The kids that we're working with on this show. I'm so impressed with them. I was impressed with them last year, even more this year, because they picked up right where they left off,
right.
You know, and they just work so hard at what they're doing, you know, and yet have a great time.
Right.
But we don't have any screwing around, nothing like that. They're all there to work and have fun, and that's what you want.
When you were done with that 70s show, did you have any idea that you'd have an opportunity to keep doing your character?
Right? No. But when they started bringing shows back, I thought, well, you know, I thought exactly what they did. I thought, right. You know, Deborah Jo and I, grandparents, that would make sense. But I didn't hear anything, and I was stuck in a hotel in Canada for 14 days, during COVID.
Yeah.
And Greg Mettler called me and said, what would you think about this? And I said, yeah, it'd be great. And he said, okay, Tom Warner's going to call you. So that was the beginning of it, and, you know.
It's good to get a call from Tom Warner.
Nice, right?
That's not bad. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Kurtwood Smith here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right. So I was mentioning you in the green room, and you said you saw us do this with Anthony Michael Hall last week.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay. We got a great celebrity true or false for you, too, sir.
Oh, okay.
All right. Here we go. Hit it with our top-notch production value. Go ahead. Hit it.
Celebrity true or false.
You can't handle the truth.
All right, that's it. That's what we got.
There you well, go. That was fun.
While it lasted, for sure. Celebrity true or false with you, Kurtwood Smith. First up, true or false, your actual first acting job was in a 1980 episode of Soap. You were a guy in Laundromat. Is that true or false?
First TV job.
First TV job.
Yeah, I spent years acting on stage up in the San Francisco Bay Area.
So you did the legit up there in San Francisco.
Well.
And then how did you wind up on Soap? How did that happen?
I was down here just scrambling, you know. I'd had an easy go of it as an actor up there because I'd been doing it for a while, and people knew me and knew my work. But you come down here and it's, you know, if you weren't a Broadway star, nobody knows you. And
by the way, there's the visual proof right there. There's you as guy in Laundromat.
Yeah.
Boy, you nailed it, Kurtwood.
I just stood there like a big lump. And he said, okay, what's the problem, man? What are you? He thought I wanted to fight him. And basically, I just said, you got on my shirt. That was my only line. Brought down the house. So,
did it really?
Yeah.
That was like your version of dumbass back in 1980.
Yeah.
How about that? It brought down the house?
Well, yes, because I think they thought that there was going to be some action. And, you know, since it was in the laundromat, anyway.
Okay.
That was the setup.
So that worked.
It worked
out.
Yeah.
You still getting like residual checks from Soap? Did those
I used to. I haven't checked lately, but yeah, you know, 8 cents and stuff like that.
Hey, man, I hear you. Next up, true or false, you landed the role of choreographer in Saturday Night Fever sequel Staying Alive after reading with Sylvester Stallone. Is that true?
I met with Sly. I don't think we actually read.
Okay.
The casting director, I was doing another show.
Okay.
I was doing a series at that time.
Yes.
And I was in the Paramount cafeteria, and this casting director came up and said, would you be interested in, Staying Alive, a choreographer? And I said, sure. So she said, come on. So she just took me over to Stallone's office, and we talked, and that was that.
So hold on a second. So you're working on another show. Casting director comes up to you, mentions there's a sequel to Saturday Night Fever. Would you want to be the choreographer?
Right.
You're like, sure. And then took you directly to Sylvester Stallone?
Yep. He had an office there.
Was he expecting you? Or?
No, I don't think so.
But
he was fine with it, And then I did two other projects with him.
What was the conversation about?
Kurtwood here, would be interested in playing the part, but he's not a dancer. He doesn't really know anything about dance. And Stallone said, oh God, I've forgotten his name now.
Sly?
No, not Sly. Right. He said, no problem,
Okay.
And it wasn't.
Never know. Okay, very good. It worked out.
Except that he cut all my lines,
What?
Yeah, if you watch the movie, I'm in the credits, the opening credits, walking around smoking a cigarette, in a jumpsuit, and watching Travolta and others, and then you can see Travolta and I having a little argument, and I throw him out, but my lines are all gone.
Oh my God! Oh, it all worked out. Well, certainly, because you were in RoboCop. Let's get to that. True or false? Kurtwood Smith. You were paid an extra $400 on RoboCop for stunt work, quote unquote, because you were actually set on fire during the riot scene.
That's true.
That's true.
That's true. Being set on fire is a slight bit of an exaggeration, but my coat was smoking. They came and pulled my jacket off and all that. And I wasn't the only one. It's that scene when we're all, Deep Ellum in Dallas, and we're just blowing up the town and just acting like complete goofballs. And we blow up this TV store, and as we're walking away from it, the fireball comes out. And I don't think you could see it anymore, but on some takes you could see the fireball comes out and it just hits the back of Paul McCrane. And I was next to him, but so, yeah, I think we're smoking. And then later they came on and said, Kurtwood, listen, we're sorry about that. It was a little bigger than we thought, so we decided to give you a stunt pay. And I thought, great, how much is that? He said, $400. I said, $400? You set me on fire and you give me $400? So true.
Okay. Well, that I guess you don't think you were even.
Right. At least a grand. Come on.
I guess I'll buy that for $400. That'd be the line for that. Okay, this is another good one. Because you played a real SOB in that movie, man.
Lots of fun.
Is that the nastiest character you've ever played?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he was a nasty dude.
Clarence Boddicker, a total psychopath.
Yeah.
You scared the crap out of me, man. I'm not going to lie. Not going to lie. And so in this movie, in RoboCop, the actress who played Dick Jones's secretary, who you harassed, Joan Purkle, is currently your wife and has been since 1988.
That's right. Okay. Excellent.
So you
and she says hello about it.
So you met your wife on the set of
RoboCop? No.
Okay, knew her already?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we were already together. And
so you're already together when you're harassing her in this scene here.
Yeah. That made it much easier to harass her. And more fun.
You get away with it.
Yes, exactly.
It's just work.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we were, you know, she came down to Dallas when we were shooting, and the casting director knew that she was an actress and asked if she would be interested in,
yes,
in just doing a quick reading for that, and she did, and she ended up doing the part.
And then you harassed her, and then a year later, you yeah, actually got hitched.
Yeah.
Got married. Yeah.
In the middle of shooting Dead Poets Society.
Well, let's get to that here. True or false, Kurtwood Smith, Dead Poets Society was not the first time that you acted with Robin Williams, because you did maybe that acting on stage in Marin County together in the that's 70s?
Right. Yeah.
That's true. True.
Yeah. We did three plays together one summer.
You and Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was fresh out of College of Marin, and I was there as that summer as a guest artist. So there was a summer festival. We did three shows. We were both in them. And after that, Robin went to Juilliard. But, you know, he was, you knew he was going places.
You did.
Oh, yeah. He was, he had that mind, you know. I mean, he was. Did you ever have an opportunity to meet Robin?
No, man, I wish.
Well, he's really a very sweet, wonderful guy. He was much more like the teacher in that film than he is like Mork, you know. It was a pleasure knowing him, you know. If it was you and a couple of people, you know, he was very sweet, you know, down to earth.
But, right.
You know, you bring in like 3, 4, 5 people and all of a sudden, bang, he's on.
Was he sticking to the script when you were on stage together, or did he just sometimes?
He was then.
I love how you're smiling, because right. I could only imagine just doing live theater with him.
Yeah. Well, here's what would happen is that there was one of the plays that we were doing. It was a 3-person play. It was me and this woman who played my daughter, mm-hmm, and Robin, who was her boyfriend. And I thought he was a complete wacko.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a scene with Robin. It was just him and I, and I'd be sitting and he was behind me, and the audience would laugh and laugh, and I turn around and he'd just be, he never would tell me what he was doing, but every night he was doing something behind me.
So like, not like a rabbit ears type thing, but he would do something that would make the audience laugh.
Yes.
And yeah, you had no idea what it was.
Right. That's right. But it, you know, if it was something that was bad for the play, the director wouldn't have let him get away with it. But the director thought it was funny that I didn't know, so he wouldn't tell me either.
So, again, with Dead Poets Society, I just remember, even though he had, I think he'd already done World According to Garp.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So he'd already done that and showed that he had some serious acting chops. Because, yeah, you know, he was introduced as, you know, Mork from Ork, you know, and Happy Days, and obviously, right, Mork and Mindy, brilliant in it.
Yeah.
But, you know, Dead Poets Society was truly one of the moments where he could 100% carry a film and just be mind-blowingly, yeah, brilliant as a straight dramatic actor in that regard. Yeah, but you already knew that, pretty much, is what you're saying on the set.
Yeah. No, yeah, I had no doubt that Robin was going to be great. When they first sent the script to me and told me Robin was going to do it, I was like right there. I said, oh, yeah, definitely. And then they changed the director and they rewrote some of the script and Robin dropped out. So did I. Then they brought in Peter Weir and then Robin came back and then I came back and so did the other people because, you know, Peter Weir, he's the best.
No doubt. And so is that movie as well. Kurtwood Smith, yeah, here on The Rich Eisen Show. So before I let you go, what's your favorite That's 70s show moment for you? What do you think? Favorite scene, favorite show?
I don't know. There are
favorite line? What do you got?
So, you know, I think probably the thing I mentioned, because it you know, once I called him, I said, you know, it's not that you're, it's not that you have bad luck. It's that you're a dumbass. The first time I said that, I think, because that, became such a classic line and that I'm still living with today. You know, I have people come up to me all the time and ask me to call him a dumbass. So I don't quite get that. I, you know, I just say anybody who wants to be called a dumbass is a dumbass. So
I've got one last one for you here, and this one's for me. Yesterday, we had Judge Reinhold here, and it was I did a top 10 list of my favorite 80s comedies. And I left one off because it's not really well known, let alone an 80s comedy that would reach a top 10 list. But for me, it was with my friends and I. It's a movie called Going Berserk.
Oh,
yes,
Going
sir.
Berserk.
Yes, sir. And not a lot of people know it. There it is up on the screen right there is the movie poster. And it starred pretty much everybody from SCTV at the time.
Yeah, the great John Candy.
And you were in it as well.
Yeah.
So you got a good John Candy story for me?
I don't. I barely remember the movie.
I took a shot for me on behalf of me and all my high school friends that watched that about 90 times. We did.
It was fun. I remember working with David Steinberg, who is
the director.
A wonderful director, you know, a great stand-up comedian, and you know, before that. But no, I wish I did. I wish I had a good...
Yeah, you were only just at like a quick part in that
movie. I wasn't even funny. I didn't have a funny part, but I was happy to be hanging out with all those guys.
Yeah, Eugene Levy and all of them.
All of them. They were all there.
Well, again, everybody check out that 90s show. Part 2 premieres June 27th exclusively on Netflix. Keep an eye peeled for Part 3 when it premieres this fall in October. And that's all available to be seen right here on the Roku portal. Kurt Woodsmith, thank you for coming. Really appreciate
it. Oh, my pleasure.
We'll be wrapping up this show in a moment right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you could find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
Pending home sales numbers, they tanked in April, but there
Hi,
are
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
High octane action in the dust, a new film puts...
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
It's a bird, it's a plane, it's Amazon.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Well, I mean, and that's why I'm wondering why you would go by the name of Matty Ice, Matt. That's why that's a beer-infused nickname, and it doesn't fit anymore.
So.
Would you agree it doesn't fit anymore, Matt?
Is the Mattrel coming back, or are we making a push for the Mattrel here?
No, I'm pointing out that certain nickname that you've had for a long time.
I like beer. Out there. I do like beer.
Right. So when it comes to it, though, you're not slamming them back, right? Is what you're saying?
No, I guess I'm drinking responsibly.
Okay. Something that would be a natural light of some sort, Matt? What are you drinking?
It's been a long time.
See? You keep making my point. Why won't you take the Mattrel from me, Matt? Why won't you do it? I mean, how many times do I have to ask?
There's just nobody else wants it.
Um, Are you aware I offered it to Stafford, your buddy?
Is that right?
Yes.
He didn't take it either.
Well, I mean, he...
That's a no, Matt.
Hold on a minute. Excuse me. Hold on. I gave him full disclosure that it was a retread and that you had rejected it. Because I know you guys talk. I know you guys are tight, right?
He forgot to mention it to me the last time I saw him.
I can't believe that wasn't top of mind for him. Okay, so just on behalf of all my loved ones who are cringing right now, just tell me to move on, Matt, and I'll move on. Just tell me to move on.
Rich, you got to move on. You got to move on. I love you, but you got to move on.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you so much.
Even if I gave you a T-shirt or anything? All right, Matt, I can take a hint after 9 years or so. Oh, yeah. Fun times. Fun times. Matty Ice. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. So we went a little long with Kurtwood. So, Chris, we're going to do your powerless rankings tomorrow.
Oh, man.
And anybody that's been on the edge of their
seat. In the audience, stay suspense.
I will apologize to them and to your entire family that's been waiting for that.
Of course, no problem.
Did you enjoy the memory lane there?
That was really awesome. And as you know, he and I talked just now. I had to tell him how just kind of, you know, this is pretty surreal for me. You know, I started hanging out on the 70s show set back in the beginning of the season two. So late 2000, early 2001. And got to watch him shoot hundreds of episodes of television. So it was really kind of surreal and cool for him to come into that's where cool. I work for a change. You know?
And you had him sign the television?
When I pointed it out to him, he was like, no way.
So now you see he's got, so Kurtwood Smith signed that TV and we'll have anybody who's ever been on that 70s show that comes in here, sign that TV. All you have to do is, you know, just get him here, TJ. You know, and your supposed friends.
I will make one. I don't know who. I'll get one here before the summer's over.
Oh.
Okay. I don't know who. I don't know who. Man,
you're tight with them all. I know that.
You know.
I know that. I run into them. They all tell me that they know you and you're an awesome human and they love you and they say that how happy you are to be here. And I'm like, I'm happy to have him.
All true things.
And then I will always say, you know, well, I'm happy to have you too. And then, you know, just keep looking at that empty chair. And
we'll make it happen.
Pointing that out.
Well, look, man, I ran into someone who knew of you on Venice Beach yesterday.
Look at that.
And my friend
Fletch?
Was like, TJ works for Rich Eisen. Fletch. You know who that is? And the guy was like, Rich Eisen is the OG of the NFL Network.
You work for me. That's a great way to put it. Adam in Maryland, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Adam?
Hey, best friend. Wanted to chime in on the four greatest. Now, I saw the tweet and it said athlete, so that's what I was basing my list on.
Okay,
for all the four majors. Wanted to start off with Major League Baseball, Barry Bonds.
Okay,
of course. For basketball, I went with LeBron James.
Okay,
you know, all-time leading scorer. Hockey, I went, you know, all respect to the great one, but I went with the great eight, Alex Ovechkin. And with football, it's got to be Jerry Rice.
I'm with you on Rice. And that, you know, everything else, now I got to turn my back on you. you're in the realm. I just don't know how, you know, Gretzky can't be. He's the greatest living hockey player. And he knows it, right? He's got to know that walking around.
I was actually convinced on Ovechkin because another hockey analyst said that Ovechkin chasing him, he does his from one spot, whereas guys like Gretzky and Crosby get to move around. Okay. So Ovi, it's like, hey, I'm here. Oh, sorry, you didn't stop that.
Yeah.
Adam, thanks for the call. Greatly appreciate it. Fire up the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. You go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way up to high heat sear, everybody. High heat sear.
High heat.
At 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone so you could put more food on the flame. Food's going to look as good as it tastes. It's hot in 15 minutes. Cleanup is easy. You cook on two levels at the same time so you can make enough for everyone. You can add a heavy-duty rotisserie or a rust-resistant griddle insert. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Alan Dallas, it's been too long. What's up, Albert? Oh, he's driving.
Richard, I'm currently on 25 East heading to Cape Cod. Been listening to the show on Sirius Satellite Radio.
That's attaboy.
My man.
That's what's up.
My man.
You want to do the weather too? You want to do the weather also, Al? What do you got?
On the threes.
You know, in Family Guy fashion, it's raining.
Oh, okay.
No, it's raining sideways.
No, it's not raining. It's going to rain. Now, listen, Richard.
Yes,
you know, I know that you.
Yes,
you know, you started your career as a. You attempted to become a comedian, but did you really call Urban Meyer a gripper?
He's a gripper. Yeah, man, he grips.
Stand up for originally was gripping something.
Say it again.
Easy, Al.
Oh my God,
Alan Dallas.
Oh boy, it's not what I was referring to, Al. I wasn't referring to that.
Hey, listen, you know, I know you. You work blue, Richard. I know, I get. So, and, you know, you gotta listen up on these things. Well, that's great. Great Costas interview.
Thanks,
Paul. Awesome.
Appreciate
Matthew,
it.
Willie Mace. It is what it is, but yeah, it was fantastic. Great show as always, guys.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate it. We got a jet. Thanks for the call, Al.
Thanks, Al.
Drive safe.
Yeah,
that's
see
great.
See you, brother.
By the way, you don't. It's so funny. No, it's so funny. 15 seconds ago, they're gone. So honestly, I love how the guys in the back protect me whenever there's something right behind me, because they it sets me off. And I appreciate it. That'll wrap up this edition of The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey guys, welcome to the Candy Valentino Show. I'm Candy Valentino. I was a founder before I could legally order a drink. And for more than 2.5 decades, I've built, scaled, acquired, and exited multiple businesses in diverse industries. Now my goal is to help you by sharing the knowledge that I've learned, the mistakes that I've made, and the wisdom that I've developed over my journey. Bi-weekly episodes every Monday and Thursday.
The Candy Valentino Show, wherever you listen.